chapter 55, at exactly the halfway point through the Srimad Bhagavatam's 10th canto. This morning we heard Akura's taking of Krishna Balaram to Mathura, Uddhav being sent back to Vrindavan by Krishna, Uddhav's meeting with Nanda and Yasoda, Uddhav's meeting with especially the Braja Ramanis, especially Srimati Radhika. But despite sending many messengers, Krishna himself never personally came. Meanwhile, the two wives of Kamsa, Asti and Prapti, they went to their father Jarasandha and gave their tales of woe. Jarasandha became very angry. Filled with sorrow and anger, he took his army consisting of 23 Akshahonis. That's about 800,000 soldiers. He attacked Krishna. With a force of 23 Akshahonis, he laid siege to the city of Mathura on all sides. Krishna and Balaram single-handedly defeated his army on 17 separate occasions. But the Supreme Lord is independent. He has complete renunciation. Therefore, if he does not wish to fight, he will not fight. Therefore, the 18th time, he manifested his renunciation by running from the battle. Therefore, a famous name for Krishna is Ranchor. One who flees from the battlefield. Jarasandha was running behind with many bad words. Come back, coward, defiler of the dynasty. Every time that Krishna and Balaram would defeat Jarasandha, they would smash his whole army and the only person living would be Jarasandha. Krishna thought, why should I go to hard endeavor chasing around the earth planet for the demonic forces? Jarasandha will go and collect another army. He came back again. Therefore, the history of Jarasandha's birth is very interesting. His father had no son. Therefore, his father was performed a fire sacrifice. His wife was given a magic fruit, was it? The fruit was cut in half, given to one of each wives. Each wife gave birth to half a child. Huh? Yes. Therefore, what to do with two half a babies, they and B? Therefore, he threw them in the forest. One demoness, she came together and put the two halves together like a sandwich. She was about to eat and the baby began moving. Therefore, out of motherly affection, she brought the child back to the king. Therefore, that child's name was Jarasandha. Sandha means half. Because he was joined by the demoness Jara, he got the name Jarasandha. 17 times he was defeated, and the 18th time Krishna manifested his independence by running. Jarasandha chased him using bad language. Krishna went up one mountain. Jarasandha surrounded the mountain with his army and lit the fire. The mountain was burning up the top like an incense stick. But Krishna and Balaram, uncovered by the smoke, jumped and came back to Mathura. At the same time, the great barbarian king Muchakunda, he attacked with 23 million soldiers. Taking the whole of LA with him, he went to Mathura. That time Krishna was thinking, now is a big problem. I'm caught between Jarasandha and Kalyavan. Kalyavan's history is very interesting. I think as one of Gargacharya's sons was insulted by the Yadus in a public assembly. Therefore, he took a vow to please Lord Shiva, and by eating powdered iron for 14 years, Lord Shiva manifested before him. What benediction do you want? Haribol Damodari. gopi, right? What benediction do you want? He said, I want a son that will terrify the Yadus. Therefore, the child was born as Kalyavan. Kalyavan was very powerful. He could find no one to fight with. By the arrangement of the Lord, he met the great devotee Narad Muni. So Narad Muni said, if you want to fight, then you should fight the pride of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna. So Kalyavan said, what does that Krishna look like? Oh, you can't miss him. He's very attractive, dark complexion like a blue lotus. He has four hands, long eyes that stretch back to his ears. He'll probably be having a very beautiful flower garland stretching down to his knees. Believe me, there's no one like him, especially the forearms are a giveaway. So therefore, when Kalyavan was surrounding Mathura, Krishna came out of Mathura without any weapons. Therefore, Kalyavan, what did he see? Like the moon coming out of the ocean, Krishna exited out of the gates of Mathura. He was most beautiful to behold. He was dark blue in complexion. He had yellow silk cloths upon his mark, upon his chest with the mark of Shribats. The coast of a gem was around his neck. His forearms were very strong and long, with shark-shaped earrings swinging on each side of his face. That time the barbarian thought, this must be Krishna, because he is exactly like he is described by Narad Muni. Therefore, even the demons cannot make Krishna without the mercy of the devotees. Yes, he is just like Narad Muni said. He has the Srivats. He has forearms. His eyes are like lotus. He wears a garland of forest flowers. He is extremely handsome. This must be the same Krishna, but he is on foot without any weapons. Therefore, I will fight him also on foot without any weapons. But Krishna was running. Kalyavan was chasing him. Kalyavan hoped to catch Lord Krishna, which even the perfected yogis cannot catch. Appearing virtually within the reach of his hands, every step he could not grasp Krishna because his sins were not completely destroyed. He is not like Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda could bind Krishna, but Kalyavan does not have that type of affection. Therefore, as he was running, Kalyavan was shouting, you took birth in the Yadu dynasty, come back. You're a disgrace to your family. It is not proper for you to run. Kalyavan was thus shouting the holy name as he was chasing Krishna. Krishna ran into the mountains surrounding Mathura. He entered one cave and hid. Kalyavan came down, and in the cave there was lying one personality. His name was Muchakunda Maharaj. Muchakunda Maharaj ki jai. Muchakunda had been offered a benediction by the demigods. He was a very powerful fighter. Therefore, the demigods were so pleased with him. Indra said, take a benediction. Muchakunda said, I want the benediction. Anyone who wakes me when I'm sleeping will be burned to ashes. Muchakunda had discovered that the Supreme Lord Krishna will appear in Dwapara Yuga. Therefore, there will be a wait of millions of years. Then Muchakunda said, I cannot tolerate that separation. Let me sleep. But Muchakunda was afraid that the demigods would wake him every time there was a problem. Therefore, he asked the second benediction, whoever wakes me will be burned to ashes. Therefore, Muchakunda was asleep in that cave, covered by a blanket. Kalyavan entered the cave. Krishna was hiding in the corner. Oh, after running such a long distance, you are sleeping here like some bogus sadhu. Kalyavan kicked that Muchakunda, thinking him to be Krishna. Muchakunda woke up and glanced at Kalyavan and burned him to ashes. That time, as Muchakunda gazed at the Lord in the corner of the cave, his complexion was dark blue like a cloud. He was extremely beautiful. His form was ever youthful. The king was overwhelmed by the effulgence coming from the body of Krishna. Therefore, the king asked. The king was thinking, Kobavam iha samprapto vipini girigavare padbayam padma palasabhyam vicharasi uru kantake. Kantak means a thorn. Seeing how Krishna's feet were so soft, Muchakunda was thinking, how you have run on the forest paths which are filled with many sharp stones when your feet are as soft as lotus petals. One time Trivikrama Maharaj was sleep. He was deeply thinking with his eyes closed for a long time, then he opened and for no reason he said that verse. It said, Muchakunda, he saw the softness of Krishna's feet and he wondered how Krishna could run on the ground, but he never offered to do anything about it. Only he wondered. But the gopis, when the gopis think about the softness of Krishna's feet, the gopis offer, Krishna should keep your feet upon our bodies, but our bodies are also hard. Even keeping your soft feet upon our bodies, you will feel pain. Devatrikramaj said, the difference between Muchakunda and the gopis, Muchakunda could understand the softness of Krishna's feet, but he never tried to do anything. But gopis could understand that, and they also tried to offer some solution. Therefore, Muchakunda was thinking, who are you? May I ask? Maybe you are the sun god, the moon god. Perhaps you're Indra, the king of heaven, or some big ruling demigod. But your effulgence is dissipating the darkness of this cave. It's also dissipating the darkness in my heart. Therefore, if you please, tiger of men, please explain to me. Can I be good? Who are you? What is your name? What is your lineage? Please tell that to me. I am very eager to hear. As for myself, I am Muchakunda, a fallen Kshatriya. Therefore, Krishna's answer is very wonderful. Krishna said, Janma karma dibanani santime anga sahasrasa na sakyati anusurkyatam ananta vammayamapi. Oh, my dear friend, I have had thousands of births, lived thousands of lives, accept thousands of names. In fact, my birth, activities and names are so unlimited, even I cannot count them. After many lifetimes, someone may count the grains of sand on the beach, or someone may count the stars in the sky, but still, there will never be anyone who can fully count my name, form, qualities, or activities. My activities and my appearance have no reference to the three phases of time. Still, if you wish to know about my current birth, then here's something. Some time ago, Lord Brahma prayed for me to descend, to remove the burden of the earth. Thus, I have descended in the Yadu dynasty. My father's name is Anakadundubi, Vasudev Maharaj. When he was born, the drums were going Dundubi, Dundubi, Anakadundubi. Because I am the son of Vasudev, my name is Vasudev. Previously, I killed Kalnimi, as well as Pralamba, and now this barbarian king has been killed by your glance. In the past, Muchakunda, you prayed to me to reveal myself to you. Therefore, I am here for you, because I always lean affectionately towards my devotees. As Krishna says, his incarnations are limited, but Bhagavatam just gives 24 main avatars. But Krishna himself says no one can count the incarnations I have taken. Therefore, when Muchakunda could understand Krishna to be the Supreme Lord, he became very happy. And he spoke of himself in the most disparaging way. Alas, with deep ignorance, I considered this body to be all in all. Thinking myself to be a king and a god on earth, I surrounded myself with many followers. Thus, I was deluded by pride. That body that rides on the elephant and thinks, I am king, after some time, that body called king will soon be known as stool, worms, or ashes. A king may sit on a great throne controlling everyone, but when he enters the chambers of the woman, he becomes a dancing dog on a string. Therefore, a king who cannot control his mind, thinking, I am independent, I am powerful, I am supreme, he meets with death, he cannot achieve any happiness. Baba bavago janato pato yado bhavet janasya tarha achuta satsangamanga satsanga thari achut achut satsanga yadhi tadaiva satkato paravarese tvaya jayatarati. But hey Prabhu, when the living entity, after moving in the ocean of birth and death, he meets your devotees, that time the period of his material existence is finished. Because in satsang paraveshwari tvayate jayate rati, in the association of your devotees, he can awaken his attraction to you. I think, Lord, that you have given me mercy because my attachment to my kingdom and my body is now completely destroyed. Therefore, I have no other desire except service of your lotus feet. One who worships you, who is the cause of giver of liberation for material thing, that person must be considered most foolish. For a long time I've been pained by troubles of this world, and I am always burning with lamentation. My six enemies, lust, greed, anger, envy, madness, and duplicity, are never satisfied, no matter how much I serve them. Hey Krishna, O best of the givers of shelter, please protect me. By good fortune I have approached your lotus feet, which make one fearless and free from sorrow. Abhay Chalanaravindure. Therefore Krishna had tried to test Muchakunda by offering him a benediction, but Muchakunda chose one benediction, to become an associate of Krishna. Therefore Krishna became very worried how this fellow can be my associate, because Muchakunda was from Satyuga, that means he was maybe 20 feet tall. Krishna thought, if I move here and there with a 20 foot high associate, my pastimes will be finished. Muchakunda is very powerful, he could grab powerful demons and finish them just by grabbing them in his hands. Therefore Krishna thought, this is not very good. If Muchakunda comes with me, my pastimes will be destroyed. Therefore Krishna cheated Muchakunda by saying, O Muchakunda, because you were a king, you used to kill many animals while hunting. Therefore you must vanquish these sins by executing penances in a solitary place. In your next life, king, you will be a brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all living entities, and certainly you will come to me. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, actually Krishna cheated Mukunda, because anyone who sees Krishna, will he have any sins left? Therefore Krishna little avoided him to avoid some inebrieties in his pastimes. Muchakunda Maharaj ki jai. Therefore Kalyavan, Krishna returned back, his army was destroyed. As he was carrying the riches, then Jarasandha came for round 19. At least he had perseverance. Therefore Krishna was thinking, this Mathura is nothing but problems. Every time some demon is coming, every week. Therefore in the middle of the night, Krishna moved himself and all the residents of Mathura to Dwarka. Dwarkadish Krishna ki jai. In the middle of the ocean, surrounded by a fort, he moved to his new residence, the divine abode called Dwarka. Therefore Krishna was 17 years in Mathura, because Jarasandha came every year, a yearly holiday. But Krishna had still not married. Krishna could not forget the Brajaramanis, the Brajagopis. Therefore even at night he would weep, thinking of separation from them. But because Krishna knew, I cannot satisfy them if I go to Vrindavan. Therefore Krishna stayed in Mathura. So, as Krishna was there, one day one letter came from one girl. Her name was Rukmini Devi. Rukmini had been destined to marry Shishupal. We'll hear of Shishupal's glorious history later on in the night. But speaking very quickly, you can understand why Shishupal hated Krishna when you hear the pastimes of Rukmini. Shishupal is an incarnation of Jai Vijay. Therefore, he was so much opulent, Shishupal. He was so wealthy. He was almost on an equal level with Krishna, almost, in material calculation. Therefore, he was very much envious of Krishna from birth. When he was born deformed. Some extra hands, some extra eyes were there. The mother was horrified, but a sky voice came, "Don't abandon your child. Who holds the child and causes the extra arms and eyes to disappear? Ram?" Praise to Ram. What will happen then, Ram? "Who causes the ugly child to be held and the deformities to disappear? That child, that person will also kill your child." So the mother was going, putting the baby on everyone. Everyone was... And finally, she put the baby on the lap of Krishna. By the touch of the merciful hand of Krishna, Shishupal's deformities disappeared and the baby was completely whole. Then the mother began to weep. The mother was the auntie of Krishna. She said, "Oh Krishna, please do not kill my son. I am related to you by family." Then Krishna said, "I promise I will forgive your son 100 offenses." Therefore, Shishupal, from birth, he knew Krishna will kill me. Therefore, he hated Krishna. And why, you can understand more. Therefore, Rukma, King Rukma, his son was Rukmi. Rukmi also didn't like Krishna. Therefore, Rukmi arranged for his sister to be married to Shishupal. Even though King Rukma and Rukmini did not want, they wanted to be married to Krishna. But in Vedic culture, the oldest son has such a position. That time Rukmini, someone may ask, how Rukmini can love Krishna? She never met him. Guru Maharaj said, because when Rukmini was a young girl, Narad Muni used to visit the palace of her father and Narad Muni would discuss Krishna Katha. Then Rukmini as a young girl used to hear behind the lattice screen, she would hear descriptions of Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. Therefore, her heart became attracted to Krishna by the process of hearing. Therefore, the next morning will be the marriage of Rukmini. Therefore, Rukmini, in the last breath, she had written one letter to Krishna. She'd given that letter to the Brahman, one Brahman. That Brahman came to visit Krishna in Dwarka. When Krishna saw the Dwarka, the Brahmana, Krishna put him on the throne, worshipped him, washed his feet. And Krishna asked, "O best of unadulterated Brahmanas, please tell me what is your purpose for coming here? I think that you are a self-satisfied Brahman. Therefore, a Brahman who is satisfied with whatever comes his way is always peaceful and happy. But an unsatisfied Brahman wanders from one planet to another planet to another planet, he is still not happy." Therefore, Krishna said, "I repeatedly bow my head to those Brahmanas who are self-satisfied. Saintly, prideless and peaceful, they are best well wishers of everyone." Therefore, Gurudev has given most people in this room second initiation, therefore we should try to behave like that. "Oh, please, Brahman, if your reason is not confidential, please tell me why you have come here." Therefore, that Brahman who knows, he began to read the letter to Krishna. Si Rukmini Uvacha. Rukmini said, "O Krishna, beauty of the three worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear you and remove all their bodily distress, one who has heard your name, form, qualities and pastimes, how can she fix her mind on any other man? Therefore, Krishna, hearing of your sterling qualities, I have fixed my shameless mind on you and you alone. O Krishna, kvata makunda mahati kulasila rupa, vidya vayo dravana dama bi atmatulyam. O Krishna, you are equal only to yourself in terms of beauty, lineage, qualities, influence, knowledge, youthfulness, character, wealth, and influence. O Krishna, you are the lion amongst men. What girl from a good family would not give her heart to you upon hearing about you? O Krishna, I surrender myself to you. Come quickly and make me your wife. Shishupal is like a jackal." Come in, sir. "Shishupal is like a jackal. You are like a lion. The jackal should not eat what is meant for the lion. This will be bad reputation for the lion." Therefore, she said, "If I have ever worshipped the Lord in any of my births, by pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals, and vows. If I ever please the demigods, the brahmanas, my elders, then may Krishna, who is Gadaraj, who carries the club, may he take me as his wife, and may Shishupal not touch me. Then Rukmini is making a plan how Krishna can kidnap her, because all Rukmini's family members will be there. Therefore, Krishna kidnaps Rukmini in front of everyone. There may be some bloodshed. Then Rukmini thought of everything. Oh Krishna, tomorrow morning I will go to the temple of Durga, which is the family tradition. We will worship Durga. At that time I will have no guards, no security will be there. At that time you can kidnap me in the Raksha style of marriage. If I cannot achieve you, O Krishna, even great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to roll in the dust of your feet. If I cannot achieve you, then I will give this body to death. I will starve to death. I will achieve another birth. And in that birth, I will also perform austerities to achieve you. In this way, I will perform austere austerities for hundreds of lifetimes until I achieve you. Thus, Krishna, if I cannot achieve you, I will give up my life. The Guru Maharaj said, actually, Krishna had no desire to marry. He was completely satisfied simply of thinking of the gopis of Vrindavan. But now one girl had written, if you do not accept me, then I will commit suicide. And what can Krishna do? Therefore, Krishna caught the hand of that Brahman and said, like Rukmini is always thinking of me, I am always thinking of her. In fact, I cannot sleep at night. She is completely dedicated to me and her character is flawless. I will bring her out of the city, her city, like one brings fire out of firewood. Saying this, Krishna was so much anxious, he did not even tell Balaram where I'm going. Krishna called his chariot driver Duruka and immediately they went to the city of Vidarbha. Isn't it? Vidarbha. In one night, Krishna went there. Meanwhile, Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, became very worried. Krishna is a big thief. He must come here and perform some mischief. Therefore, all the security was arranged. Krishna came. What are you doing here? Krishna had an invitation. He said, I'm also invited to the wedding. Then, how do you say, begrudgingly, they gave Krishna some quarters. But word was spread amongst them, be careful. Krishna must do something. All the guards were watching. But Krishna very happily, he stayed there for one night. The king had decorated the city. He knew Krishna will come, Krishna will kidnap my daughter. Therefore Krishna, the king went and worshipped Krishna like a son-in-law. That time, according to the rules and regulations, the king gave his daughter in marriage. In order to make sure that Krishna would not do anything, Shishupal had arranged the security in a complete flawless way. Shishupal had said, if Krishna comes here with Balaram and the other Yadus, that's one reason why Krishna went alone. See, I'm alone, what I can do alone. If Krishna comes here with Balaram and the other Yadus to steal the bride, we shall band together and defeat him. Thus all the army was put on red alert. That time Rukmini, she had not got news that Krishna was coming. You can imagine how long that night was for Rukmini. Sometimes when Krishna said to the gopis, we missed that last night. Then the gopis asked Krishna, why you left us? And Krishna said, don't you know? If I'm leaving you for your own benefit, because when I disappear from you, your meditation on me can increase. Then the gopis became angry. We are not any sudden siddhas that our prem will increase by your separation. We cannot be impressed only by separation. Therefore sometimes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, even when the devotee is ready, Krishna still does not appear before him, so that his enthusiasm will become more. Therefore Krishna left it to the last minute. Rukmini was very much disturbed. Alas, even the Brahmana has not returned. Perhaps Krishna, who is omniscient, he knows there is some fault in me, some contemptible quality. Therefore, he has chosen not to accept me. At last, she began to weep. I'm most unfortunate. I think Durga, Uma, and Shiva, I think they are against me. Because one name for Shankar is Rudra. He makes everybody cry. Therefore, she said, Rudra makes everyone cry. Therefore, he's only satisfied when I'm weeping. The demigods are against me. My astrology is against me. I am not, therefore, her mind stolen by Krishna. She simply wept the whole night. As she waited the arrival of Govinda, Rukmini felt some auspicious signs in the left side of her body. That time the Brahman came. The Brahman was smiling very happily. Who would not be smiling who just had a conversation with Krishna? Therefore the Brahman, he conveyed to Rukmini by his smile, yes, the prince of the Yadus, Krishna Chandra, has promised to take you. Therefore, Rukmini was so much happy, but she had no wealth to offer. Therefore, she simply did pranam to him. That time, Rukmini decorated herself from head to toe and went towards the temple to ask the blessings from Durga for her marriage. It says, even an ugly girl looks good on the day of her wedding. What to speak of Rukmini, the goddess of fortune? Jayashri, why are you laughing? That time as Rukmini went into the temple, just like we heard two nights ago, the gopis also worshipped Katayani to get Krishna as their husband. In the same way, Rukmini worshipped the murti of Durga. But Durga cannot give the service of Krishna, she is Maya. Therefore, that Durga is not Durga, she is Yoga Maya. Therefore, all the citizens of Rukmini's city, they also wanted Rukmini to marry Krishna. Therefore, all the citizens prayed, Kinchitsu Chalitram Yannas Tena Tustat Trilokakrit. Hey Lokakrit, hey Achyuta, hey Krishna. We give all our pious activities to Rukmini so that you may take her, you may marry her. Thus, everyone is in very much exciting position. Rukmini went on foot to the temple of Bhavani. Therefore, she prayed that she may have Krishna as her husband. That time she praised, O Mother Ambika, O wife of Shiva, I offer my obeisances to you, together with your children, Ganesh and Kartikeya. May Lord Krishna become my husband. May Lord Krishna become my husband. Hey! Can you close that door or tell them to shut up? At that time, the deity spoke, O Rukmini, your desire will be fulfilled. So Rukmini, how much she was happy. She came out of the palace, she came out of the temple, and she manifested her full beauty, but only for the pleasure of Krishna. Even a girl in this world is described, the most attractive woman in this world, compared to the women of the heavenly planets, is like a hairy monkey. But the most beautiful women in the heavenly planets compared to the beauty of Rukmini. Therefore, Rukmini, who is the Mahalakshmi, Krishna's internal potency. She is so attractive, she attracts even Krishna. Therefore, she manifested her full beauty only for the happiness of Krishna. Therefore, described her. Her waist was very thin. Her face, lovely face, was adorned with earrings. Her hips were graced with a jewel-studded belt. Her lotus feet were very soft. Her teeth were white like jasmine flower. As she walked, her ankle bells made a nice sound like the warbling of swans. As the kings saw the beauty of Rukmini, lust tore their hearts. They became so lusty, they became unconscious and fell off the back of their horses and elephants. As the king saw her broad smile as she brushed her hair to the back of her ears, they saw her shy glance, they became stupefied. They dropped their weapons and fell unconscious to the ground. Rukmini displayed her full beauty only for the happiness and enjoyment of Krishna. As she advanced on her two feet, which looked like lotus flowers, with the fingernails of her left hand, she pushed some strands of hair away from her face. And she was looking from the corner of her eyes, where is Krishna? All the kings were thinking, she's looking at me. But no, she was not. Yeah, but very interesting. The king saw her personified as Maya. Therefore, they became mad with lust. But Rukmini is not Maya. She is Krishna's yoga Maya, you can think. Internal energy. But the king had uncontrolled senses. Therefore, they could not see Rukmini's real form. Just like Ravan, he thought, I have kidnapped Sita. But Ravan cannot even see the spiritual form of Sita. What to speak of kidnap her? Therefore, Sita, Ravan was stole the mayic form of Sita, a material form of Sita, a false Sita. In the same way, the kings were not seeing the real form of Rukmini, they were seeing a material, not a material, a maya, the mayic representation of Rukmini, who is Mahamaya. Therefore, who can become free from the grip of Maya? Isn't it? And we hear only Haridas Thakur, who is chanting Harinam in a solitary place, only because his absorption in Harinam. He could become free from attraction to the opposite sex. Even Mahamaya personally, Maya personified, she came, she could not attract the mind of Haridas Thakur. Therefore, Rukmini, as she displayed her beauty, the kings became mad, Madhu. Thus time, they became enchanted, their weapons fell from the ground, they fell unconscious. At that perfect moment, Krishna came with his chariot, pulled Rukmini onto the chariot and disappeared. The kings woke up, unconscious from the ground. Oh, damn us! What's happened? Although we are great heroes, this low-class cowherd boy has stolen our wife, just like a crow may steal the property of a lion. That time the soldiers were talking amongst each other. Hari, do you see the beauty of Krishna's toes? Like delicate buds of a lotus flower, so attractive. Another soldier said, forget that, did you see his hand? His hand was like nectar personified. His fingernails were white like the moon, so beautiful his hand. Another soldier was saying, forget that, did you see his knee? His knee was completely beautiful. Another saying, his thigh was like the trunk of an elephant. All were saying, all became stunned seeing the beauty of Krishna's form. One soldier said, well, I didn't see anything, but you guys won't do anything. Well, I'm going to tackle Krishna by myself. Therefore, Krishna kidnapped Rukmini and drove off. Rukmini was driving the chariot and Krishna was fighting from the back of the chariot. Some describe like that. Then when the kings became mad, they mounted their army and chased behind Krishna. That time, Balaram had also come from Dwarka. There was a huge rumble. As a result, the armies of Rukmini were smashed. Rukmini was afraid by the war. She closed her eyes. Krishna said, don't worry, queen. Your army will defeat their enemy without any problem. Therefore, Krishna indicated, you have been my queen. Therefore, everything I own now belongs to you. Pipe dream. Therefore, the enemy headed by Rukmini was completely defeated. That time, Shishupal, who already hated Krishna from the beginning, you can imagine how he felt now. His wife had just been kidnapped. He was there polishing the wedding ring when Krishna took Rukmini. Therefore, Shishupal was very much disappointed. Jarasandha gave him some philosophy. Don't worry, buddy. These are the rules of the world. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Therefore, give up your depression. Because after all, embodied beings' happiness and distress is predestined. Don't worry, buddy. It happens to the best of us. Like for me, I was defeated 17 times, but the 18th time I defeated Krishna. Then Jarasandha said, I never hanker or lament for anything material. You should do the same. This world is driven by fate and nothing else. Therefore, Shishupal was pacified. They went home. But here comes a very wonderful conversation between Rukmini and Krishna. Rukmini had taken a vow, I will never return to my city without my sister. Therefore, the whole army was defeated, but Rukmini continued along. He told his charioteer, drive the chariot, drive the horses quickly to where Krishna is, I will fight him. Rukmini began to shout. Adyayam nistere baner gopalasya sudurmatahai durmati nesye virja madamyena swasame prasabam hirita. This coward boy is very low class and has a very wicked mind. He has kidnapped my sister, but today I will remove his pride with my sharp arrows. So Saraswati, the goddess of fortune, how she can tolerate someone speaking bad words like that to Krishna? Therefore, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his bhajan, has said, if you little adjust the Sanskrit here and there, then another meaning comes out that Shishupal is shouting very loudly. Today, the intoxication of pride that I feel as a great warrior will be definitely removed from the arrows of by the arrows of Krishna. Krishna is a coward boy who is very beautiful and his mind is very generous towards others, even foolish persons like me. Shishupal was shouting. You can imagine the scene, very funny. Thus, Rukmi came before Krishna and said, stand and fight, O defiler of the Yanu dynasties. Who are you, Krishna? You are like a crow. Just like when we perform a fire sacrifice, the ghee. Imagine if a crow comes and drinks the ghee before the fire sacrifice. Therefore, Krishna, you are like a crow that steals ghee, which is meant for the sacrifice. In the same way, you are stealing my sister. This very day, fool, I will remove your false pride, you deceiver and you cheater in battle. But another meaning, Rukmi is shouting very loud to Krishna. Oh Krishna, my sister is Mahalakshmi. Therefore she belongs to you, whether I accept it or not. Whether you steal her or not, she is always yours. Wherever you go, she is your own energy. Therefore, I am like a crow who is trying to steal the fat sacrificial butter meant for the demigods. Oh Krishna, you are very kind. Please break my false pride as being a great warrior, because I am very foolish and I am a big cheater. You can imagine Krishna with me going, I think your brother's had a bit too much to drink. Yavaname hatobane saita munchadarikam smayam krishna danuschitva sadbi viyaiva rukminam. Rukmi began to shout, release the girl before I strike you dead with my arrows and make you lie upon the battlefield. Krishna smiled, because what Rukmi was really saying was, I know that very soon you will lie with my sister on a bed of flowers. There's nothing I can do about it. So Rukmi roared very loudly and fired many arrows at Krishna. The Lord took and struck with one arrow. He struck the four horses, the chariot driver. With the four horses, he struck with eight arrows. The chariot driver got two. The flag was cut in three places. Rukmi became wild. He began showering all his arrows on Krishna. As often as Rukmi would pick up a bow, Krishna would shatter it. Finally, Rukmi lost his cool. He grabbed a sword and ran towards Krishna. Like a bird flies into the wind, useless. That time Krishna shot arrows that broke the bow and arrow, the sword and shield of Rukmi. Krishna grabbed Rukmi and went to take off his head with his sword. That time Rukmini cried, don't kill your brother-in-law. Balaram came, saw the situation. Balaram little chastised Krishna. Here's your own family member. On the day of your wedding, you're killing your brother-in-law. This is not very good. Therefore, Balaram spoke in an expert way, according to time, place, and circumstance, to pacify Rukmini. That time, Krishna, in order to give some punishment to Rukmi, he gave him a new haircut, leaving half of his moustache here, a bit here, a few bits of hair here and there. He disfigured him with his sword and released him. Rukmi was very much insulted. Could not return home. He had taken a vow not to return back to his city. Therefore, afterwards, Krishna had not killed him because of his relationship with Rukmini. But afterwards, Balaram killed Rukmi because he had not given up his envy. Afterwards, Krishna and Balaram were invited to the Krishna's son married some relative of Rukmi. Therefore, the family tie was. Therefore, like even in a family wedding or some funeral, even if you hate the family members, you have to put on a good show. Therefore, even though Rukmi hated Krishna and Balaram, he put on some pretense of liking them. Therefore, towards the end of the marriage, there was some gambling and festivities. Balaram was very fond of gambling, but he was not very much expert in it. Therefore, Rukmi thought I'd take a chance to insult Balaram, not by fighting, but by gambling. Therefore, Balaram and Rukmi, Balaram was a little intoxicated, his eyes were reddish. Therefore, Rukmi threw the dice. The first bet was 10 gold coins. Balaram lost. Balaram put another 100 coins. Balaram lost that. And Rukmi had become intoxicated. He began to criticize Balaram. Because gambling is the sport of kings. Oh, coward boy. You should not come here. This is the kingly sport. You want to know about moving in the forest with your cows and collecting cow dung? You should take a few more hints before you come in gambling. Balaram became angry, moved 10 million gold coins onto the board. Rukmi cheated by throwing the dice, and Rukmi shouted, "I have won, I have won." But he had not won, he had lost. But Rukmi cheated and took the 10 million gold coins. Who's going to gamble with the Supreme Lord who has all opulence? Balaram took 100 million gold coins and put them on the board. As Rukmi cheated the first time, he shouted, "I have won," but a voice came, "You have not won, Balaram has won." But Rukmi ignored the voice again, 100 million gold coins. Rukmi lost, but Rukmi tried to cheat. Again, he insulted Balaram with bad words. Balaram became very angry with his club. He mashed him to death. Balaram Maharaj ki jai! Therefore, that was the disappearance of Rukmi. His remains were gathered into a ball like a piece of mashed potato. He was cremated. Therefore, Rukmi, Balaram, and Krishna performed their pastimes. Then comes the story of the Shamantaka jewel. Sometimes we worry in the temple there's many politics, but even in the spiritual world there's politics. We have to reconcile by always keeping Guru and Krishna in the center. Therefore, Krishna began by marrying Rukmini. Krishna also, in this pastime, he achieves two wives. Very interesting how he does. Satyajit had been worshipping the sun god. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Yas yas te dajana prabhadanti anya devata." Those who worship the demigods, they worship them because they have too many material desires. Therefore, those who are contaminated by the modes of nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, or tamagun, they cannot worship the Lord because their minds are not pure. Therefore, automatically, according to their qualification, they'll worship the different devas. Therefore, Satyajit was a great devotee of the demigod. Therefore, the demigod was of the sun was so much pleased to him, he gave him one special jewel that was called Shamantaka. The Shamantaka jewel was very powerful. If you worshipped it properly, it would give you, I think it's 144 pounds of gold a day. Wish we could borrow that for a few days. Therefore, Satyajit, being very much proud by his material opulence, he entered Dwarka wearing the Shamantaka jewel around his neck. Therefore, because Dwarka is the spiritual world where Krishna was personally residing, many of the demigods used to come and visit Krishna. Therefore, when the people saw the effulgence from the jewel, the Shamantaka jewel, everyone went to Krishna and said, "I think the sun god has come for an audience." Just like you go into an office and you take the ticket, 33. "The sun god today has come for your darshan, Krishna." That time Krishna was playing chess with Rukmini. He smiled. "A resident of Dwarka, this is not the sun god. This is Satyajit. Satyajit. The resident of Dwarka prayed, Narayan namastu ste shankha chakra gadadara damodara aravindaksha govinda yadunandanan." There from the spiritual world there is also the chanting of the holy name. Don't think that the holy name I will chant and then I will achieve perfection and then I will give up the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, Ayamukta kule upasyamana paritastvam harinam samsvayama Rupa Goswami has said in Namastikam. Even the liberated souls worship the toenails of the holy name. Therefore, even in the stage of perfection, there is chanting the holy name. Therefore, the holy name is the process. The holy name is also the goal. The holy name is a process to achieve pure love of God. And when you achieve pure love of God, you will also chant the holy name then. They're in Dwarka, they're always chanting. They said, O Krishna, obeisances to you, O Damada, O Govinda, O best of the Yadus, who always hold the Sankha Chakra Gada Padma, the four weapons. We think that Savita, the sun god, has come to visit you. His effulgence is so great, he is blinding everyone. O Krishna, even the most exalted demigods in the world have come for your audience. But you have hidden yourself here in the Yadu dynasty like an ordinary person. Krishna smiled the time he was with Rukmini and said, this is not the sun god, Ravi, but rather Satrajit, who is devotee of the sun god. So each day that gem would produce 8 bhadas of gold. A bhada is? Wow. Oh my God. Thus the Samantaka jewel was producing 170 pounds or 78 kilos of gold. Therefore one day Krishna said to Satrajit, the best thing should be offered to the king. Therefore Krishna said to Satrajit, you should give that Samantaka jewel to me. And I will give it as an offering to the king of Dwarka, Ugrasen. Krishna didn't even want it for himself. But Satrajit was so much greedy, he refused. One, he thought Krishna was also greedy. If I will not give. But you can think a Samantaka is just a material jewel. Therefore in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, everything is made of jewels. Therefore Krishna is not a poor person. Why Krishna has no greed for one ordinary Samantaka jewel? Just by his desire, he could make millions and millions and millions and millions of Samantaka jewels. But in this pastime, anukulyasya sankalpya pratikulyasya bhajana. If thumbing is something is an obstacle to your bhajana, no matter how dear it is, you'll have to give it up. Therefore, sometimes Guru Maharaj said, if anything comes between you and the spiritual master, any wealth, any desire, any position, anything, you should give it up like stool. We can learn this by Satrajit. That stupid jewel, which has no value, as Krishna was requesting, but he did not give, therefore that came some obstacle between Satrajit and Krishna. Satrajit did not think it was an offense to deny the Lord his request. Therefore, one day, Satrajit's brother, Prasena, he borrowed the jewel and went riding, hunting. One lion saw the jewel, killed Prasena on the horse and took the jewel. Meanwhile, Jambavan, a big bear, he killed the lion and took the jewel, but because Jambavan is a devotee of Krishna, what need he has with the Samantaka jewel? He gave it to his son to play with as a toy. It says, one who has gotten the mercy of Gauranga, then what is impossible for him? Kaivalya Nanakate Tridas Pushpa Akash Pushpa Yantri Durdan India Kalasham Dungs Pratayate Puna Vishva Sukhayate Vidimahindras Ite Drunks Sukhayate Tam Gora Chandra Kripa Kataksha Swayamstuna. Prabhanananda Saraswati Thakur, son, one who gets the glance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the merciful glance, then what happens automatically? Kaivalya Nanakate, the idea of merging with the Supreme Lord becomes like hell. If you merge with Krishna, how you can serve him and love him? You cannot. Therefore, it's like hell. Tridaspur, Akash, Pushpayante. The heavenly planets is like a flower in the sky. Durdan, Indiam, Kalasham, Dangs, Pitayate. The senses which are very powerful, like serpents. For devotee of Krishna, if you pull the serpent, the teeth out of a poison snake, who is afraid of that? Therefore, for a devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the senses become harmless. Like a snake with his teeth pulled out. Purna Vishva Sukhayate. The whole world becomes full of happiness. And even great demigods like Indra and Mahadev become as insignificant as pieces of dirt on the ground. This is a result of someone who just gets the sidelong glance of Sachinandan Gaurahari. Sachinandan Gaurahari ki jai. Therefore, Jambavan is a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, what is the use of a Samantaka jewel to him? He has the jewel of all jewels, Krishna, in his heart. Therefore, he's not interested in any type of material opulence. Madhu. Maybe you should bring your pillow. That time, he did bring it. He's traveling with 2 years. He knows what to expect. That time, as the child was playing with the jewel, then bad news came to Krishna. All were whispering. Yes, probably Krishna killed the brother. The brother went out hunting. He hasn't returned. Probably Krishna killed him when he wasn't looking and stole the jewel. There were many whispers in Mathura. Dwarka. Venice Beach. Sorry, Dwarka. All were whispering, what's true, what's true, what's true. Therefore, this lesson, if we can simply control our tongue, will save ourselves so much misery. Guru Maharaj says, 99% of our problems come by this fellow, the tongue. Because we cannot control our tongue, all the problems are coming on our head. But if we just control this fellow, we can control everything. Therefore, people were whispering, well, maybe Krishna was jealous. Maybe Krishna killed Prasenna. Maybe Krishna stole the jewel. Therefore, in order to clean his name, Krishna went with some leading citizens of Dwarka. They went, followed the tracks of the horse. They came across the slain horse and Prasenna. Oh, lion has done it. They followed the lion tracks. The lion was dead. They followed the bear tracks till they came to the cave of Jambavan. Who's been to the cave of Jambavan? Jamu. We go there with Gurudev. Surprised you were awake for that. Jambavan is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Isn't it? It said when Barmandev became very big and crossed the universe, at that time Jambavan circumambulated him 7 times. You can imagine how powerful he was. There, that cave was very deep and dark. All were afraid. Krishna went in there alone. Krishna came and saw the baby playing with the Samantaka jewel. Krishna took it from the child. The child began, wah. He began crying. Then the nursemaid of the child came. Actually, she was filled with ecstasy, therefore she cried. Jambavan heard the cry. He came and saw this dark-complexioned youth stealing the child, stealing the candy from the baby. Therefore, flexing his muscles, he began fighting with Krishna. The two, unaware of the true position of Krishna, Jambavan angrily began fighting with the Supreme Lord, who was his master. The two fought furiously in single combat, determined to win, using weapons and finally stones, tree trunks, and finally their bare fists. They struggled like two hawks fighting over a piece of meat. The fighting went non-stop, without rest, for 28 days. The two opponents striked each other. The sound was like the thunderbolt cracking on a mountain. His body pummeled by the thunderous, thunder-like blow, thunderbolt blows of Krishna. His voice faltered. He began perspiring. Then he began to think, who is this person who is defeating me? No one can defeat me. Then he realized, this must be my Lord, Lord Ram, who's coming in disguised form. Then Jambavan realized the presence of the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? All the residents of Dwarka, while the 28 days of the fight was going on, they did not wait. They said the residents of Dwarka had stayed there only for 12 days. And after 12 days, they returned back to Dwarka. The residents of Vrindavan are not like the residents of Dwarka. The residents of Vrindavan, like when we go to Bandiravat, there is one tree there, Subal. When Krishna promised to return, Subal stood there waiting. Krishna gave his word, I will return soon. Subal waited there 4,500 years until Krishna came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the residents of Dwarka could not even wait 12 days. That is the difference between the love of the residents of Vrindavan and everyone else. Therefore, Jambavan, he felt, I have been fighting with my Lord. He surrendered. He gave the jewel. He brought his own daughter, Jambavati. And along with Jambavati, he gave the dowry of the Samantaka jewel. Therefore, Jambavan happily honored Krishna by offering him his maiden daughter, Jambavati, together with the jewel. Thus, Krishna came back to Dwarka with a new wife and the Shamadaka jewel. He cleared his name. That time, Satyajit was most embarrassed. How much I gave trouble to Krishna. I even accused him of falsely stealing the diamond, the jewel. Then, in order to become free from the offense, he gave his daughter, Satyabhama, to marriage of Krishna. And finally, Satyajit, he was murdered as an offense of not giving the jewel to Krishna in the first place. But that's a long story, as we hear how Krishna rescued the Shamantaka jewel. Then Krishna began collecting wives, left, right, and center. There was a king who had... One king was there, he promised to give his daughter only if Krishna could control seven bulls. The person who wanted to marry his daughter had to control seven bulls. Those seven bulls were very ferocious. Therefore, Krishna manifested himself in seven forms and controlled the bulls very easily. Because that young girl, she thought, if I marry Krishna, Krishna already has so many wives, how I can be with him? Therefore, Krishna manifested seven forms to let her know, don't worry, I can take many forms to satisfy you. Krishna married one queen, one after another. Therefore, in that pastime, he married five Yajnajit. Sorry. Anyway, no time to look there. Then finally, there were 16,000 queens. How Krishna married them is told. Once there was a wicked king called Bhaumasura or Narakasura. Narakasura was the son of Krishna from his past incarnation. When Varahadev picked up the earth planet, just by the touch of Varahadev, the earth planet became pregnant and she gave birth to a son, Narakasura. Narakasura, there is the son of the Supreme Lord. But to show how Krishna has affection for devotees. Even if his own son becomes against devotion, Krishna rejects him. Nothing is more dear to Krishna than the devotees. Therefore, Narakasura, he fell in bad association by the association of Dhritagorilla and others. Therefore, he became envious and against Krishna. Therefore, Narakasura had a benediction. He could only die if his mother gave permission. What mother will give permission for the child to die? Therefore, Narakasura had kidnapped 16,000 young princesses and he was going to have his nasty way with them. Therefore, Krishna decided to liberate those 16,000 queens. Riding on the back of Garuda, he went to Narakasura's palace. That palace was surrounded by many different types of security. By Krishna using his Sudarshan chakra, he pierced the fence of electricity, the fence of fire, the fence of darkness. Finally, he was surrounded by a moat. Therefore, in that moat was living the Mura demon. Mura demon had five heads. He came out roaring. Krishna killed him. Therefore, Krishna got the name Murari Krishna Ki Jai. Krishna got the name of Murari, the killer of the Mura demon. Mura represents lust. Only Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, can kill lust by the power of the feet of Krishna. That time, Narakasura came out for a fight. Krishna had taken Satyabhama with him. Lord Narayan has 16 main energies, of which Bhu Shakti is one of them. And Satyabhama is an incarnation of Lord Narayan's Bhu Shakti. Bhu means earth. Therefore, Krishna took permission from Satyabhama to kill Narakasura. Therefore, Krishna killed him. Those 16,000 queens, princesses, no one would accept them. Because imagine, in Vedic times, the girl cannot be outside the house. Even if they're outside the house for one day, she is considered polluted. There were these 16,000 princesses. They'd been living with Narakasura, whose character was far from being excellent. Therefore, what chance is there that no one will ever marry them? But Krishna was so kind. He accepted all 16,000 of those girls who had no other shelter as his queens. Therefore, finally, Krishna brought his total of wives up to 16,108. Therefore, these days people are very much anxious to imitate the activities of Krishna. They're saying, I am God, you are God, everyone's God except for Krishna. Therefore, you are God, you can also marry 16,108 queens. If you are God, can you lift Govardhan? Therefore, we're not interested in 2 rupee incarnations. In the words of Prabhupada, if one wants to call himself an incarnation, he has to prove it by following the footsteps, by performing impossible pastimes like Krishna performs. Therefore, one day, as Krishna was returning there, one time Narad Muni had come. Why Krishna was carrying Satyabhama? One time while Krishna was there with the 16,108 queens, Narad Muni came when Krishna was there with 16,108 queens, and Narad had one Parijat flower, a flower from the heavenly planets, Subal. And in front of the 16,108 queens, Narad Muni gave that flower to Krishna and said, you should give this flower to your most favorite wife. And all of the 16,108 queens thought, that's me. Because Krishna tells me every day, actually, of all my wives, you are the best. Therefore, Krishna now is in a most difficult situation. Therefore, Krishna said, I will give after. And Narad Muni said, no, you should give right now. Then Krishna thought, righty. He surrendered and gave the flower with his eyes closed to Rukmini. Satyabhama immediately became angry. She went to the Man Ghat. Every lady, royal lady, has a house of anger. Raj, your wife has a house of anger? That's the caravan, right? The caravan. That time she took off the ornaments, and this has been touched by Krishna. She threw it on the ground. Putting on some old dress, she lay there weeping on the ground. Krishna came. Oh, Satyabhama. Krishna was expert at pacifying the man of the gopis. Krishna thinking the man of Satyabhama is nothing. Oh, Satyabhama, why you're angry? He touched Satyabhama, she became like a snake. Don't you touch me, I have no relation with you. Then Krishna said, I'm only giving one flower to Rukmini, but I promise I will give a whole tree to you. Therefore, Satyabhama went on the back of Garuda, and Krishna up, he asked Indra, give me one Parijat flower, one Parijat tree, but Indra was afflicted by false ego, he would not give. Therefore, there was a big fight between all the demigods and Indra. Demigods with Indra against Krishna. Krishna stole the Parijat flower. He came and planted that in the courtyard of Satyabhama. Satyabhama was so much proud, by force she invited all those queens, come and look at my Parijat tree. Therefore, Rukmini, how much she is gentle and refined. Therefore, one day Krishna thought, in Dwarka, mostly the queens are so much submissive. But in Vrindavan, the gopis are not submissive. They're very bold, very hard for me to pacify them. Therefore, Krishna had a desire in Dwarka, let me have some fighting ras. Afterwards, Krishna says, Rukmini, the only happiness in family life is like when two pots clunk together and there's a sound. The only happiness in family life is when the husband and wife fight. Then there's some nectar there. Therefore, one time, Krishna had a desire to test Rukmini. As he was standing there, despite Rukmini having millions and millions of maidservants, she was personally fanning Krishna. That time the unborn Supreme Lord said, hey Rukmini, my dear princess, many, many kings sought your hand in marriage. Those kings were all very powerful. They came from royal families. They had abundant wealth, youth, generosity, good qualities, and physical strength. Even your brother and father had given you to another man, to Shishupal. I think you made a mistake by choosing me. All those kings were mad for you, but you left them. Why did you choose me? Because I am not your equal. Marriage should be between equals. When the marriage between a boy and a girl and the boy and the girl are not equal, there will be a disturbance. Therefore, I am not equal to you, Rukmini. You are from a royal family. I am a cowherd boy. I think you made a mistake. I'm not a bold hero. Just to escape from the troubles of the kings, I hid myself here in the ocean. Thus, I have no royal position because the king of Dwarka is actually Ugrasen. O lady with beautiful eyebrows, I am very restless. The path that I follow is very independent. The path that I follow is not approved by society. Hey, Rukmini, I own nothing. I have no material possessions. And those who worship me also have nothing. Those who are wealthy and powerful never worship me. Marriage and friendship should be between equals. But Rukmini, in terms of wealth, birth, influence, appearance, I'm not equal to you. O Vidarbhi, O Rukmini, your choice of me was not very intelligent. I have no good qualities, and I am only glorified by worthless beggars. I think you made a mistake in choosing me as your husband, but I give you permission, you may go and choose another husband. You should choose a first-class king. In this way, you can achieve all happiness in this life and the next life. Kings like Shishupal, Salva, Jarasandha, Dandavaka hate me. And so does your older brother, Rukmi, who will be mashed soon. Actually, I never married you out of love for you. I simply married you to break the false pride of those kings. But now I've broken their pride, I have no need for you. You may go and marry someone else. You have made a mistake, Rukmini. I have no interest in wives, children, material enjoyment or wealth. I am always satisfied within myself. I have no need for you. I never work for material happiness or for home or for my body. I am simply a witness. I have no attachment to you or to anyone. Thus Krishna spoke in such a way to Rukmini. When she heard these unpleasant words from the mouths of Krishna, which she had never heard before, a terror arose in her heart. She began to weep. With her tender lotus foot, she began to scratch the ground. Tears poured from her eyes. Her eyes were covered by mascara. That mascara stained her face, her breast, and her cloth. With her face down, her voice choked, she simply wept. Overwhelmed with unhappiness, fear, and grief, the bangles and ornaments from her body slipped off her wrists. And suddenly the fan fell from her hand, she fell to the ground. Like a banana tree blown over by a storm. Where's Crow? He's not here. That time Rukmini could not understand that Krishna was joking. Therefore, as she fell, Krishna manifested four arms. With two hands he caught her, and with the other two hands he was fanning her. Rukmini, what you're doing? That time Krishna smiled, Rukmini wiped her tear-stained face and said, Krishna said, O Vidarbhi, you cannot understand that I am only joking. Please do not be displeased with me. I know that you are completely devoted to me. I spoke only in jest, for I wanted to hear some angry words from your mouth. Only one time I wanted to see you biting your lips in loving anger, your eyes a little bit reddish, and your restless eyes moving here and there. One time I wanted to see your beautiful eyebrows, which are like the bows of Cupid, knitted in a frown. One time. The greatest pleasure in household life is when the husband and wife can have some joking arguments. That time Rukmini could understand that Krishna was joking, Rukmini gave a wonderful answer. Smiling bashfully at Krishna, she said, actually, Krishna, what you have said is true. I am not your equal. I am unsuitable to be the bride of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What comparison is there between you, the Supreme Lord, who is complete in all opulences, who is master of the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, You are always self-satisfied within yourself. What comparison there can be between you and me, who am simply a woman of mundane qualities who is worshipped by foolish persons? Rukmini, out of humility, she was associating herself, identifying herself with the external energy. What comparison there can be between you, the Supreme Lord, and me, Maya, who is worshipped only by foolish persons? Yes, Krishna, what you have said is true. You are hiding in the ocean. As the Paramatma, you hide in the ocean of everybody's heart. As if always completely separate from this world, you are always completely separate from the material ingredients, therefore you rest in the heart as Paramatma. You are always battling with the foolish intelligence of the conditioned soul by giving him good instructions. Krishna, what you have said is true. The path that you follow is not understood by the common persons in society. Your movements are inscrutable even for perfected sages. What to speak of human beings who behave like animals? Krishna, your activities are all completely spiritual and transcendental, as are the activities of your followers. Now, it's true, Krishna, you possess nothing. You are Niskinchan, because there is nothing separate from you. Understand? If there's a $5 note, I'm different from the $5, therefore I can say it's mine. But I cannot say, for example, this hand is different from me because I own it. Therefore Rukmini said, because you own everything, because nothing is separate from you, therefore you own nothing because there is nothing beyond you from which to own. It's true that those who are blinded by their material opulence cannot worship you, but you come for them in the form of death. O Krishna, you are the ultimate goal of life. And intelligent persons leave everything to achieve only you. Men and women who are absorbed in material pleasures cannot understand you, nor can they serve you. But great personalities who leave even the sannyas danda, doesn't mean they get married, it means they become paramahamsas. Krishna, you are worshipped by persons who have no material attraction, who are the topmost paramahamsas. It's true, Krishna, you own nothing because you sell yourself to such devotees. I choose you as my husband, therefore I reject even Brahma, Shiva, Indra, the ruler of the king of heaven, what to speak of any king in this world. Then how I could have interest in anyone else having achieved you? O Krishna, I personally saw how you defeated great kings like Shishupal and Jarasandha. Therefore, to say that you ran, hid in the ocean out of fear of them is only your joking. Great kings have left all material enjoyment to achieve you. How they could achieve any dissatisfaction? In the same way, Krishna, having achieved you, how I can want anything else? I have achieved everything. O Krishna, only the smell of your lotus feet awards perfection to great saints. You are the abode of Goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. What woman is there who would leave you and take shelter of another man? May your feet, which give freedom from illusion, be my treasure, birth after birth. O Krishna, let the kings that you have mentioned, let them marry some foolish woman. A woman who fails to relish the nectar from your lotus feet, she will become befooled and she will accept as a husband or a lover a corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, hair, body hair, filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, stool, mucus, bile and air. Okay? Only those women who have never tasted the nectar of your lotus feet, they will accept a bag of stool called a husband. But I am not like that, Krishna. I have tasted the nectar of your lotus feet. While I give you up for a bag of stool, all girls should get a t-shirt made of that. Okay, Raghulata, next time a boy comes, you can tell that verse from Rukmini. Oh, bag of stool and mucus, air and bile covered with hair. Vijay, I have no interest in you. My only one husband is Krishna. Therefore, Rukmini gave complete answer to Krishna. Krishna, I consider you, I do not consider your words false, all your words are completely true. Then Krishna smiled. Oh, princess, I deceived you only because I wanted to hear you speak like this. Indeed, everything you said in my reply to my words is definitely most certainly true. Then Guru Maharaj says, oh lady, should become like Rukmini. I tried to test you by offering you material benedictions. Mr. Crow, why coming late? You'll have to be punished for that. Therefore Krishna said, oh Rukmini, I am now seeing your pure love and attachment for me. Even though I tried to shake you by my words, you could not be shaken. You remained attached to me. Lusty persons worship me for material benedictions. Such persons are bewildered by my maya. Unfortunate persons worship me for material treasures. But such material happiness can be found even in hell. Therefore Krishna said, O Rukmini, I find no wife as loving as you. When you were to be married, you disregarded all the kings who had assembled for your marriage simply because you had heard authentic accounts of my pastimes. Therefore, thus Krishna behaved like an ordinary householder performing the religious duties of a family man. Krishna Chandra Ki Jai. One time Narad Muni, he heard Krishna has now moved from Vrindavan to Mathura to Dwarka. He is there with 16,000 queens living in 16,108 separate palaces. Narad Muni had a desire, let me see the pastimes of Krishna. Therefore Narad Muni, he went to Dwarka, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms also. Because the devotee of Krishna will share the opulence of Krishna, the mystic perfections of Krishna, the happiness of Krishna. If anything Krishna can do, Narad Muni, not everything, pretty much everything Krishna can do, the devotee can do. Therefore sometimes people think, only one Gurudev, I can never get a chance to see Gurudev. Foolishness. Narad Muni expanded himself into 16,108 forms, the same way the spiritual master expands himself personally in the heart of each disciple. But it's not Gurudev's fault if you are not accepting him in his heart. That is not his problem, that is your problem. But Guru Maharaj only has a few thousand disciples. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has 60,000 disciples. And Guru Maharaj said, you know, each disciple of Sri Saraswati Thakur that Gurudev met, Gurudev said at one time, they'd always say, I want to tell you something privately. Actually, Prabhupada loved me more than any of the other disciples. Understand? If a disciple should not become disturbed, they should have that real internal relation with the Guru. Therefore, don't think that when Gurudev gives his mantra, he gives himself to the disciple. Therefore, Narad Muni manifested himself in 16,108 forms. And he simultaneously entered each palace at the same time. That time, what did Narad Muni see? In one palace, Krishna was taking lunch. Another palace, Krishna was performing some meditation. Who will Krishna meditate on? Because all scripture says one should think of Krishna. Therefore Krishna thinks of himself. But one thinks, I will imitate Krishna by also thinking of myself. That's useless. Everyone else should think of Krishna, but Krishna will think only of himself. Therefore one time he saw Krishna meditating as ideal, giving an ideal example. Another palace, Krishna was practicing sword fighting. Another palace, Krishna was playing with his children. Another palace, Krishna was playing chess. Another palace, Krishna was taking rest. Another palace, Krishna was making some politics. How to do, what to do. Another palace, Krishna was disguising himself to go out and spy on the population to make sure everyone's following the rules and regulations. Thus Narad Muni became astonished. How 16,108 Krishnas doing 16,000, just looking at you, I feel tired. 16,108 Krishnas doing the same activity. Thus Narad Muni saw the opulence of Krishna. Therefore Usha and Aniruddha, With each of the 16,108 queens, Krishna had 10 sons and one daughter. Krishna's first expansion is called Balaram Sankarsan. That's first, Krishna's first son is called Prajumna from Rukmini. And Prajumna's son is called Aniruddha. Before, but we skipped it, Prajumna at 10 days old was kidnapped from Rukmini by the demon, Maya. Prajumna is an incarnation of Cupid. Cupid appears in the body of Prajumna. We give pranam to that pastime. Therefore, sometimes we have dreams of spiritual master. If you're very fortunate, you may have a dream of Krishna. The dream of Krishna is not so cheap. One time, I had one dream and I was trying to tell Gurudev. And Gurudev kept on saying to me, I'm not interested in dreams. I don't believe in dreams. But dreams are also real. Don't tell him I said that. Dreams of the spiritual master are not dreams like Maya. They have a proof that even the dreaming of perfected souls, I should add, is real. In the 62nd chapter is the story of Usha and Aniruddha. In these pastimes come the glories of Lord Shiva and the glories of the spiritual master. Therefore, one time, to say that dreams of Krishna are not so cheap. One time, one old lady came. Gurudev. Sorry. Gurudev. Last night, I had a dream of Krishna. And Guru Maharaj said, how astonishing. How astonishing it is that you are still with your husband. How astonishing it is you are still with your children. Because one who really sees Krishna, he would become mad, or she would become mad for Krishna. They would leave everything. They would have no material attachment. They'd become like the fruit seller lady. We missed that thing with the fruit seller lady, full Bikrani, by staying in Mathura. She was hearing pastimes of the, and descriptions of Krishna. Therefore, she gave her heart to Krishna, but she had not met him. Therefore, she would take fruits to Vrindavan and try and sell, but she was not successful. She could not meet Krishna. Then finally she took a vow, I will not return home until I see him. She became so much absorbed as she was selling fruits. She was not saying, take your bananas, take your apricots, take your cherries. She was chanting, Govinda Damo Dara Madhavati. Govinda Lao, Dabadalo, Gopal Lao. Take Krishna, take Damodar, take Gopal. And Krishna was inside hearing the chanting of the holy name with attachment. Therefore, Krishna, a small baby, he went out there with some grains in his hand to give some exchange. Krishna had no money. He has no pockets. He has no clothes. Therefore, Krishna saw my parents sometimes bargain. Krishna took some grains. He went out to the lady. All the grains had fallen out from the cracks in his hand. And Krishna said, give me some fruit. The lady was very intelligent. No. Only you sit on my lap and call me mother, then I'll give you some fruit. And Krishna was a little worried because she was a very low-class lady. If anyone sees me sitting in the class of such an unknown low-class lady, then what people will do? Krishna looked, no one was there. He sat on her lap for 1 second, Maya, then she stood up. Her heart melted. Now Krishna is my son. She gave so many fruits to Krishna. Krishna couldn't, he was carrying them like that. The Guru Maharaj said that lady never returned home. As she was returning home, as she was walking, her food basket was very heavy. She looked, it was full of jewels, pearls, gold. But because she'd had darshan of Krishna, it meant nothing to her. She threw it in the Yamuna. If one who has darshan of Krishna, even in dream, must become like that. Therefore, the dream of liberated souls is true. Sometimes also a dream of a spiritual master may also be true, according to our good fortune. Therefore, Usha, there was one personality called Banasur. He had benediction from Lord Shiva that he could have 1,000 arms. He was expert at playing the drum. Imagine with 1,000 arms what kind of beat he could pump out. When Lord Shiva was dancing, he would... Therefore, Shiva blessed him. He said, take a benediction. And Banasura, out of his pride, he said, Prabhu, I have 1,000 arms, but I have no one good to fight with. Therefore, the strength of my arms is wasted. Therefore, I'd like to fight. He indicated, I'd like to have a fight with you. She became angry, but gave him a blessing. You rascal. You want to fight with me? Like we told the story. Puna Musika Bhuvaka. Remember that story? I'm not going to go there again. By my mercy, you became great. Now you're using your prowess against me. Yes, someone will come. He will crush your pride. Then Banasura was so foolish, he went, great. Lord Shiva's promised I will fight with someone most powerful. Banasura had a daughter called Usha. When Usha was dreaming, she fell asleep with her friends in the garden as she dreamt. She dreamt one very beautiful, dark-complexioned boy came. Who was that in her dream? Aniruddha, the grandson of Krishna himself. In the dream, they embraced, played checkers and everything like that. In the dream, she had some relationship with him. When the dream broke, he left and she cried, oh, my beloved! That time her friends were saying, what beloved? She was too much ashamed. Therefore, her friend called Chitra, gossip, gossip, gossip. She said, I can draw a picture of any man in the three worlds. If that man exists here, I can make a picture of him. Therefore, she was drawing pictures of everyone, the Gandharvas, the persons from the heavenly planets. When she drew a picture of Krishna, she became shy because Krishna was like her father-in-law. When finally she drew a picture of Aniruddha, the grandson of Krishna, then she said, that is him. Therefore, how to arrange that marriage? If a guru also does that job of marriage, means in Vedic culture, a boy wants to marry, a girl wants to marry. The parents choose the husband because generally the girl, maybe when puberty comes, the hormones go nuts. Then so much lust, because of lust, maybe the girl will just choose anyone who's good looking, but maybe a rascal. Therefore, some mistake will be there. Therefore, parents choose the husband, so the girl will not make some mistake. They look very carefully at the character of the boy, the girl, and they think this is a good marriage. Therefore, to arrange that marriage, there's a priest. The boy and the girl have never met, but the priest arranges that marriage. Then the priest said, this is your husband, this is your wife. And that relationship is fixed, but they have never met before. In the same way, we have never met Krishna. But the time of initiation, Guru fixes that relationship. Isn't it? Krishna is your most beloved. Then in the same way, Chitra acted the position of Guru, making that relationship between Pradyumna and Usha. Therefore, she went to Dwarka, but Dwarka, no one can enter Dwarka. No one can enter Vrindavan without the mercy of Yogamaya, that potency of Krishna which established a relationship with Krishna. Therefore, Usha, she was going there, she met Narad Muni, who was always making some disturbance to make the interesting pastimes of Krishna swell. Therefore, she said, Narad Muni said, if you want to enter Dwarka, you cannot, because it's the abode of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he taught her some secret mantra. She entered the room of Pradyumna, who was sleeping, and picked up the whole bed and flew to Varanasi. That time, when Pradyumna woke up, he saw this strange girl there. Then when Usha beheld her husband sleeping there, the most attractive of all men, Aniruddha's father's Cupid, imagine how beautiful the son will be. She took the son of Pradyumna to her private quarters, and there they began living as husband and wife. Day by day, their attraction for each other increased. So when a girl marries, after marriage, there'll be some symptoms that she has now become like a woman. Therefore, the female guards who were guarding around the house, they could notice some complete change in her body, complete change in her habits. Therefore, they went and told the father, please do not blame us. We are keeping such tight guard, even a mosquito cannot enter the bedroom of your daughter. But we have detected in your daughter the kind of improper behavior that spoils the reputation of the family. We have been carefully watching over her. We cannot understand how this maiden has been corrupted, because no man can ever see your daughter, what to speak of touching her. Therefore, Banasura was very much, you could imagine how angry he was. He rushed there at once, kicked open the door, and what did he see? Cupid's own son, possessed of unrivaled beauty. Around his neck was a garland given by Usha. Her makeup from her body was there on the garland. He was smiling. They were playing some dice. When Banasur saw that, he was completely astonished. Devabanasur and the guards had a big fight with Prajumna. He took an iron club and they began fighting. But by the arrangement of Yogamaya, Aniruddha was captured by Banasur. Meanwhile, Narad Muni went there and told Krishna the news, your grandson has been kidnapped. And Narad Muni arranged all this thing. Hearing from Narad the news of Aniruddha's kidnap, his capture, Krishna along with his army went there too. Sonitapur, not Varanasi, sorry. And there was a huge fight. Because Lord Shiva's disciple was Banasura, Lord Shiva was so affectionate to his disciple, Lord Shiva appeared there personally with his army. That we hear sometimes, Yasya Prasadan Bhagavat Prasado. Even if Krishna is angry with someone, Chapala, but the Guru is pleased, then the disciple has nothing to worry about. Guru will give protection. Guru has such a place of intimacy with Krishna. Even if Krishna is angry, the Guru can protect. Like one time, one man had insulted Lord Ram. Therefore, Lord Ram had taken a vow, I promise, sunrise, you will be deadly bones. I'll finish you. That man was weeping bitterly. Imagine the last night on earth. When Narad Muni came and said, what's happened? The man said, Lord Ram has vowed to kill me. Narad Muni said, I can save you, but you have to follow my instructions perfectly. What? You should go and catch hold of the feet of Hanuman and don't let go of his feet until he promises to save you. The man ran and grabbed Hanuman, Prabhu, save me. Jai Hanuman, Ajana Guna Sagara, Jai Kabish, Triloka, Udarata. He began saying the Hanuman Chalisya, save me, Prabhu, save me, save me, save me. I am yours, I am yours. Then Hanuman was, okay, I promise to save you. Please don't catch my feet. What is your problem? That man said, Lord Ram has vowed to kill me tomorrow morning. Hanuman went, Ram Ram. Who told you to do this? He said, oh, Narad Muni told me. There in the morning, Lord Ram, whose vow is never falsified, he came, he strung his bow, he took an arrow, took aim at the man. Hanuman jumped in the middle with his club in a fighting position. Ram said, Hanuman, move aside, I vowed to kill him. And Hanuman said, you move aside, I vowed to protect him. Therefore, because Hanuman had taken up the cause of that man, Lord Ram gave up his vow. Therefore, sometimes even the Supreme Lord is against someone for his own grave reasons. But as long as he has not rejected the spiritual master, then he can easily be saved. Guru will arrange everything. This you can learn from this pastime. Banasura defended all the incarnations of God present on the planet. But his Guru, Lord Shiva, was still there protecting him. Therefore, Banasura in the end had nothing but good fortune, no loss for him. Lord Shiva not only came to fight on behalf of Banasura, he came with his whole army. Kartikeya was riding his peacock, Ganesh was riding his rat. Come on, come on. A huge battle took place between the armies of Shiva and Banasura, and this side representing Banasura, Mahadev, the destroyer of the three worlds. And this side representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and his unlimited armies. A huge fight took place. Even it said that fight was so fearsome, just by hearing about it, you'd break a leg. All the hairs of your body would stand on and just hearing about that battle. Thus, Kartikeya was getting whipped. He was fighting with Prajumna. With blood pouring from his body, he cried, it's Armageddon. Thus, Kartikeya ran on his peacock from the battle. Kumbhanandan, Kumbhakarna, Kupakarna fought with Balaram. Balaram mashed them with his club. Banasura was furious seeing his army being defeated. Therefore, Banasura was fighting with Satyaki, the disciple of Arjuna. He charged towards Krishna. He was so much excited with his 1,000 arms, 500 are holding the bow, 500 are holding arrows. He has seamlessly fired 500 bows, 500 arrows at Krishna at one side. All the crowd cheered, jolly good show. But Krishna, Banasura fired 500 arrows at Krishna with 500 bows. But Krishna, with one bow, fired 500 arrows and broke all the bows of Banasura. That time Banasura's life was about to be threatened. That time Lord Shiva felt very much sad. Lord Shiva's wife felt very much sad. Now the devotee of my husband will be killed by Krishna. Therefore, one expansion of Parvati called Kotara. She appeared before Krishna completely naked. Krishna closed his eyes. How he'll see a naked lady? He closed his eyes. And while Krishna was diverted, Banasura escaped. Lord Shiva was left alone. Lord Shiva became furious. I must defeat Krishna. He took his ultimate weapon, the Shiva Dwara. That weapon was not your conventional weapon. He had 3 legs, 3 heads, 6 arms, and 9 eyes. That time he appeared like a blazing fire. That personified weapon of Lord Shiva rushed towards Krishna, burning everything in the 10 directions. That time Krishna whipped out his ultimate weapon, the Vishnu Dwara. The Vishnu Dwara is freezing cold. And Krishna threw that weapon at him. And if there's a fight between heat and cold, who will win? Cold will always win. Therefore, the Shiva Dwara and the Vishnu Dwara, what do they represent? The time of death, one becomes burning hot, then one becomes freezing cold. Therefore, at the time of death, these both things come for you. Therefore, people who freeze to death in the Himalayas, right? I've heard there were some people in the Everest, and they became trapped in a storm. Whenever they find someone who freezes to death, at the time of death, they always rip off all their clothes because they feel so hot. Then they freeze to death. So the time of death, these two things. Incredible cold comes, right? Everyone at the time of death, very cold, Baba, very cold. Then comes heat. Therefore, the ultimate weapon of Lord Shiva was defeated by the weapon of Vishnu. He fell at the feet of Krishna and offered many prayers. Sorry. Yes. He prayed, O Krishna, I'm very much tortured by your ultimate weapon, which is cold. Isn't it something that's very cold and it burns you? Therefore, he surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna is so kind, he even protected the ultimate weapon of Shiva. That time, Banasura came back to fight, and Krishna, using his chakra, cut off 996 arms of Banasura. Only 4 were left. That time, Lord Shiva felt compassion for his disciple, and he prayed to Krishna on behalf of his disciple. One time, someone asked Srila Gauranga Maharaj, Gurudev, pray to me. And Gauranga Maharaj said, I am always praying for all my disciples. Spiritual master is always so much concerned with the benefit, the eternal welfare of the disciples. Therefore, Guru Maharaj said, spiritual master is always praying to Krishna on behalf of disciples. One time, Srila Tripura Maharaj said that, I am always praying to Radha Krishna for your upliftment, for your benefit. Therefore, Lord Shiva, his disciple, is about to be killed by Krishna. Lord Shiva came and offered prayers on behalf of his disciple. Rudra Dev, Sri Rudra Uvacha, O Krishna, you alone are the absolute truth, the supreme light, the mystery hidden within the verses of the Vedas. Only those hearts who are spotless can see you. I give my pranam to you. You are the original person, one without a second. You are self-manifest, uncaused, and you are the cause of all other causes. You are the supreme controller. I surrender to you. I, Lord Brahma, and any other demigod cannot understand you. I surrender to you. Therefore, this Banasura is very dear to me. He is my faithful follower. I have promised him freedom from fear. O Lord, please grant him your mercy just as you granted mercy to other demons like Prahlad. Therefore, Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna said, O Shiva, I am very pleased with you. Take a benediction. Lord Shiva said, I cannot give my attachment for my sinful disciple, Banasur. What can I do? I have causeless affection for him. Please be merciful to him. That is the benediction I choose. Lord Shiva is ideal guru. He never wants anything for himself. One time we've heard of the great devotee called Ramanuja Acharya. Ramanuja was preaching so much the glories of Krishna, Narayan, and he was cutting the worship of the insignificant demigods. There was one king who was a great so-called follower of Lord Shiva. Actually, we are the real followers of Shiva because we follow Shiva's instructions. We follow his footsteps. There was one so-called follower of Lord Shiva. When he heard Ramanuja was preaching so powerfully, if I can convert him into a follower of Lord Shiva, then the whole world will follow. Therefore, he went with his armies to capture Ramanuja. Sri Ramanuja had one disciple called Kuresh had a wonderful power of memory. And there was another disciple whose good name I forget. Kuresh disguised himself in the sannyas cloth of Ramanuja. And he allowed himself to be captured along with one god brother so the guru could escape. That time the wicked king, he took these two Vaishnavas in his court and they were surrounded by hundreds of learned scholars who were also trying to cut their arguments and promote the service of Lord Shiva. There were these two Vaishnavas, they knew all the scriptures like the back of their hand. No one could defeat them. All knowledge, all logic and argument, all common sense is at the feet of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, finally, when the king saw that he could not defeat them by logic, by argument, by scripture, the king roared, "Admit that Shiva is the supreme, otherwise I'll put out your eyes." So Kuresh, who was completely fearless, he realizes, "I'm not the body." He made a joke. Drona is the father-in-law of Shiva. A drona is also a measurement of weight, say 50 grams. And a Shiva is also a measurement of weight, 20 grams. The Kuresh made a Vedic joke. Even a drona is bigger than a Shiva, some Vedic joke. The king became furious. He is insulting us. He ordered to put out his eyes. The two Vaishnavas were taken to the dungeon. Their eyes were plucked out by red-hot pincers. And Kuresh, he said to those guards, "Thank you for allowing me to perform this service to my spiritual master." The guards were completely horrified. This guy is not human. Therefore, they released him. They gave one person some money, take them back to their guru. Therefore, Ramanuja, this Kuresh, was an expert singer on the harmonium. I cannot say harmonium, he was an expert singer. Therefore, Ramanuja said, "Your singing is so sweet, the Lord will fulfill your desire. Go before the Lord and pray to him for a benediction." Ramanuja wanted the disciple to pray for his eyes to be returned. Therefore, Kuresh has to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. He went before the Lord and began singing. Therefore, the Lord was very pleased. He said, "Kuresh, take a benediction. What do you want?" He said, "Krishna, that king who ordered my eyes to be put out, he had since died of a horrible disease. Please be kind to him." The Lord fulfilled his benediction. Kuresh went back to the guru. The guru became angry. "I told you. You go back and ask for another benediction." Kuresh went back again. He sang. Radhi. The Lord said, "Take another benediction." He said, "Those men who pulled out my eyes, they must also be suffering. Lord, be kind to them." And Lord Bharadwaj said, "It may be so." And Kuresh came back. The guru became angry at him. "Those eyes do not belong to you. Because your body, you belong to me. Therefore, those eyes are not your eyes. Those eyes are my eyes. Therefore, you should go back to the Lord and ask the benediction. Oh Lord, some time ago, my spiritual master lost something that belonged to him. Please give them back." Then he went back and sang again. The Lord gave him his two eyes back. But there's another version. After two times when he came before his guru realized, "My disciple is so pure and selfless. He never asked anything for himself." Ramanuja embraced him. By the embrace of Ramanuja, his two eyes came back. That's another version of the story. Ramanuja Acharya ki jai. Therefore, this Vaishnava never asks for anything for themselves. Like Raghunath Goswami prayed to Sanatana Goswami. Vairagya vid bhakti rasa prayatna aparinamama amabipsanambam kripam buriya paraduka doki sanatanam tam prabhamasramami. He prayed, I give obeisances to my guru, Sanatana Goswami. He taught us devotion laced with renunciation and knowledge. Sanatana Goswami kripam buri, he is an ocean of mercy, paraduka doki. His only suffering is seeing the suffering of others. Sanatanam tvam prabhamasramai, I bow to the feet of Sanatana Goswami. Therefore, who will be a greater devotee of the Lord than Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu? Like the Ganga is the greatest river, like the Mahapur, like the Bhagavatam is the greatest Puran, the same way Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnav. Therefore, Lord Shiva said, if you want to give a benediction, not for me, give a benediction to my disciples. One time I asked, so Trika Maharaj, Maharaj, bless me. Maharaj said, don't worry, everything I have is yours anyway. Vaishnava, everything he has is the property of others. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, you want to be a devotee like a tree, everything the tree has is for others. Therefore, even though preaching means giving so much blood, we should not become afraid to preach, even though we have to work like dogs. No one is listening anyway, still. Then Lord Shiva said, my benediction I transfer my disciple, make him fearless. Are you fearless, Mr. Crow? Become fearless. Take shelter of Guru and Gauranga, Guru and Krishna, become fearless. Then Krishna asked him, why? Why him? Then Shiva said, actually there's no good reason why you should be kind to him. Your kindness is the only reason. Therefore, ahoitiki, sometimes a guru has affection for disciple, but that affection has no cause. It's only the mercy of the guru. Then Krishna said, what mercy should I give him? And Shiva said, you should give the same mercy you gave to the other demons like Prahlad. Therefore, Lord Krishna said, Lord Shiva also speaks with so much respect to Lord Shiva. My dear Lord, Krishna said, for your happiness I must certainly do anything. I fully agree with your prayers. I will not kill this demonic son of Virochani. Virochani, Prahlad's son is called Virochan, no? Virochan's son is this? Banasur. Yes? I will not kill this demonic son of Virochan, for I gave Prahlad the benediction that I would not kill any of his descendants. Sometimes you worry, what about my family members? But Lord Nisringadev gave a benediction to Prahlad. If someone just becomes a beginning devotee, a Kanishta Adhikari, means he takes shelter of the Guru, but even he has no real realization, 7 generations of the family will be delivered. If one becomes a Madhyama Adhikari, a middle class devotee, he can deliver 14 generations of his descendants. And if one becomes a Mahabhagavat, then he delivers 21 generations of his descendants. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Because of Banasura's relation with Prahlad, the Lord did not kill him. Instead, he gave him mercy. Krishna said, just to cut his pride, I cut his 996 extra arms. They'll leave him 4, because a liberated soul has 4 arms. I punished him to break his pride, and I destroyed his army to relieve the burden of the earth. This demon will still have 4 arms. He will become free from old age and death, and he will still remain your main servant. Thus, he will have no fear anymore. Thus, achieving freedom from fear, Banasur offered obeisance to Krishna by touching his head to the feet of the Lord. Banasur then brought Aniruddha out of prison and gave his daughter in marriage. Thus, Krishna took Aniruddha and his new bride, Usha. That means, but how much mercy Krishna gave Banasura. Banasura became a family member of Krishna. How much more mercy do you want? Thus, whoever rises early in the morning and remembers Krishna's experience with Krishna's victory in the battle with the Lord Shiva, that person will never be defeated. Pastimes of Krishna, ki jai. One pasta, one kirtan.